I am Brother Cornell West, and this is
If I Can Save America.
Peace and love, everybody. It's your man, Manny Faces. Just wanted to let you know that Hip Hop Can Save America is now available as a live stream show every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. You can find it at hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Excerpts from that show will be played here on the audio feed, so you'll still get the good interviews that you've been used to. But check out the live stream and check out my free Substack newsletter at mannyfaces.substack.com. That's filled with all kinds of stories of hip-hop innovation, inspiration, and generally hip-hop news that isn't about dumb shit. For everything Hip Hop Can Save America, hiphopcansaveamerica.com. For everything Manny Faces, mannyfaces.com. And if you find value in this work, you can support it. We'd love to have you aboard as a supporter at patreon.com/mannyfaces. Now let's go. You know, we know that hip hop can uplift humanity and improve society across the board. This is every demographic, every nook and cranny, every type person, race, religion, culture, creed, all that, because we've seen the receipts, we know that it can work. But perhaps it's most importantly focused in helping uplift the lives and livelihoods and communities that have been traditionally left behind or under-resourced or underfunded or underloved by the rest of humanity, by the white supremacist structure that exists in this country. So while it can help everyone, and it should, and it will, and it does, it's best suited to make sure that those who have been traditionally underserved will get the benefits that they deserve. That being said, so when we talk about hip hop and education, like we did with Representative Bowman, that's one area. Education can be fixed if we incorporate hip hop from a holistic viewpoint. We've talked about health and wellness. We talk about science and technology on this show. And one area, which I love getting into, because there's a lot of people who want to know how this industry or this field, this discipline can be better suited through a hip hop mindset, a hip hop mentality, is the world of finances, which always confuses me. And I'm not very good at because you can tell because I'm broke all the time. But that being said, I wanted to bring on someone that I've known for a very, very long time that comes from the world of hip hop, that's come from, as I introduced earlier in the show, the perspective of being systems impacted, being a hip hop head, being a very, 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 very good dude, and has been around a long time and has wound up in the world of fintech, financial technology, startups, venture capital, all the things that I'd like to know more about. So my man, my mellow, Divine, I'm bringing you to the stage. We're going to get rid of this. We're going to bring you on and we're going to kick it. What up, Divine?
Yo, what's good, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing as well as can be expected. I haven't seen you in quite some time, but it's good to see you right now.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. Great to be here though with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. The privilege and pleasure is mine. As I mentioned, let's start at the end and then maybe we can go back a little bit. You know, let's kind of not start at the end. We'll start at the now. This ain't the end. It's never the end with you. Nothing ever ends. It's always forward progression, you know, right? Right now, the reason, I mean, I've watched you and we go back and forth all the time, but Solvent is the thing that like kind of caught my eye right now. That's, I think, the main baby, the main project right now, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Let's just tell the people right out the gate, what's Solvent? What are you working on right now? And they'll immediately know why I love you so much and the work you do.
Yeah, well, Solvent is a financial technology company. It's a mobile first, only one banking and financial empowerment platform that's focused on people who are system impacted. So when we say system impacted, what we mean, we break that up into four segments. And that's the people who are socioeconomically disadvantaged, people who are formerly incarcerated, the family, friends, and loved ones of the formerly incarcerated and or incarcerated and the incarcerated. And what Solvent does as a platform is really help them optimize their financial lives, man. You know what I mean? And we do that through different ways. By having affordable, tech-driven, personal, financial, and banking tools, products, and services, as well as having a mix of financial literacy and empowerment content, curriculum, and resources.
Yeah. So what does that look like in practice? What are some of these programs?
Well, first and foremost, we look to get them individuals banked, right? That's the first step.
Okay.
Bank account, debit card, and then we have credit repair and building tools as well. So they can, because the most people that come from the demographic we're focused on,
yeah,
individuals come from poverty, right?
Right.
People who have have been affected by mass incarceration, whether it's them or their family, friends, or loved one that's been incarcerated before. Yeah. And then dealing with the mental health issues of being formerly incarcerated. So we try to address all those type of things. Again, yeah. We go back to the credit repair. And when you think about credit repair and credit building, a lot of these individuals have either a low score or no score or a very thin credit profile.
Right.
So we look to empower them around the credit piece, as well as looking at other different services that can help them, resources. People just coming home, transitioning from being incarcerated, coming back to the streets. Yeah. How do they transition and get their financial foundation, back in order?
Yeah.
That's what Solvent's all about. When you think about Solvent, it's really how I was able to take my personal journey, right? Coming from poverty, being incarcerated, for a decade of my life. And I made a lot of money in my time, right? In the streets. I went to federal prison at 19 years old. And for the most part, you're not going to federal prison unless you're doing something major. And,
right.
and I was doing that. And I seen a lot of money, man. But that money never gave me the financial empowerment I was seeking, because I didn't have financial literacy. I didn't understand, stocks. I didn't understand these other tools that can help you elevate your financial life or even optimize it. So that's how Solvent is more so just taking my journey and productizing, if you would.
Mm.
And when I say productizing it, it's putting it in a system and in a process so other people can follow it and say, okay, Devon has success this way.
Right.
Not everybody's going to meet a billionaire like I did, right? As you know, I know we'll get more into that, but not everybody's going to meet a billionaire like I did. So if they can't meet that billionaire, how does Devon take what he's learned from being in that space, bring it back to those in the streets or those that are impoverished, stuck in poverty still, or trying to get out and empower them?
Yeah. What state is this, is Solvent right now? In other words, is this something that's out to the public that can be, used in different parts of the country? Just give me an idea of like how someone would use this or get involved with this if they had a loved one maybe that was just getting out of and needed this kind of help.
Yeah, well, it's currently nationwide, so it's available nationwide. So we actually go live with our free membership where people can come on the platform and actually learn financial literacy, engage with entrepreneurship education as well.
Yeah.
They have about 5,000 resources that are going to be made available around entrepreneurship, and over 1,000 or 2,000 of content and curriculum, online classes around financial empowerment.
Yeah.
So it goes live in the next few weeks. I'll make sure that I tap in with you and let you know exactly when it goes live. The banking portion will be available in the next 90 days. So people will be able to download the app, Google, Android, download the app, Google, Android, and iOS, Apple, iOS, download the app, and then create an account, go in there, engage with the free resources, the free content, the free curriculum, sign up for the bank account, debit card, get on a wait list. So we're looking about launching that in the next 90 days.
Got it. So when you say there's a banking portion to it, sort of like, I'm just trying to compare, I don't want to say, but like Greenwood, like that kind of banking platform, not a bank, but like, what I mean?
Yeah. We're neobank, what they call a neobank. I like to say we're a super neobank.
Understood.
And we're a super neobank because we have a comprehensive platform.
Right.
We just don't give you a one-point product of a bank account and a debit card.
Right.
We really think about a bank account and debit card. Those aren't financial empowerment tools. Those are utility tools, right? They make your financial life more efficient. They make it more convenient, but they don't give you financial empowerment. And really, when we look at people coming from this demographic and the target audience, these are people that really need financial empowerment, right? And so when you think about Greenwood is something similar to what Solvent is, but Solvent's more niche focus, right? Mm-hmm. We're focused on people, if you think about it, we're focused on people who are the lowest of the low, right? The people that banks don't want to deal with. But once you get on Solvent's program, once you utilize our platform, you're going to turn into somebody that the banks are definitely going to want, right?
Mm.
And that's what it's about.
Right.
And to add one last thing onto that.
Sure.
When you look at neobanks like Greenwood and these other ones that are out, remember, this is something I started working on in 2014.
Right.
Right? 2014, I started working on this, but we were doing prepaid debit cards as an alternative to the Rush card. And we wanted to have a social impact component. And that was around the financial literacy and entrepreneurship education. So I was 5 years early of thinking about what a neobank could possibly be, such as what Greenwood and others are doing.
Yeah, that's strange. It sounds like you're saying that the Rush card really didn't actually help people. Anyway, I'm just moving along. I'm just my own two cents. But no, I appreciate that. Having that, obviously, that we say niche focus, but it's an important one because it's folks that don't get that specialized attention. They have very unique needs and very unique concerns that the rest of the banking population, right, wouldn't necessarily be concerning themselves with. So it's important that that focus is there. Otherwise, they get swept up and it's not even helping them directly. It's not helping them specifically, right?
Exactly. No, absolutely. Yep. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah. Folks who are listening, by the way, my good friend Devon, who I've known for a while, you might have heard him just casually throw out there that he met a billionaire. Because most of us do, right? At some point or another. But that's actually a really interesting twist, a really interesting part of the story. It's I don't say it's how you got here. You're obviously, doing a bunch of important things leading up to this place. But tell the story of meeting a billionaire and how that kind of changed the direction of what you were doing.
Yeah. I found myself incarcerated yet again after dealing with recidivism for years.
And you grew up where? Just to let people know, you were where?
I was born in Newport, Rhode Island, and then Brooklyn's my second home, New York City.
Yes, sir.
And I ran through there heavily, so connect with my peoples out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was incarcerated about 10 years ago, actually 12 years ago, my last time incarcerated, and I became 100% dissatisfied with my life, and when I started examining, doing an introspection, I started saying, what am I going to do with my life? I always felt that I was destined for something greater than just being incarcerated and living out crime culture, because that became my culture. Crime was my culture.
Yeah.
Anyway, did that. And I said, I really like the process of making money. I've always been intrigued with the financial world. I never understood it, but I knew that you could become highly successful in it and with it. And I always wanted to dig into that. But at that point, I wasn't thinking of the financial world. I was just thinking, how could I just change my life? And I came across an article about this famed Silicon Valley venture capitalist and billionaire named Ben Horowitz and how he used hip hop to teach business lessons to his employees. So that intrigued me immediately. And then what also intrigued me about him was the fact that he was a venture capitalist, was a billionaire, and he was in, the technology space. And I didn't see how those connected with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hip hop comes from the struggle, from the pain, from poverty, from negativity in the sense of the environment you live in, and you trying to get out and use hip hop to get out of that. And I was intrigued by that. I came home, reached out to him on Twitter to make a long story short, asked him to mentor me. We became fast friends, and that man just changed the whole trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
I was exposed to Silicon Valley. I was exposed to venture capital. I was exposed to, formal entrepreneurship, as well as startup building, high growth startup building in the technology space, and that was it. And as I got known for that, when I entered the technology space, I started framing my story. Whenever I did interviews, I would frame my story from crack to rap to tech. And when you look at my life and my story, and those are the three major things in my life that have guided me throughout my lifetime.
Mm.
From crack was with my mother's drug addiction, right? From the crack to rap. To rap was more so when I got incarcerated, honed my skills and made had a determined idea to become a professional hip hop rap recording artist. Right. Not just anyone, but one of the best ones.
Right.
And that was what I set my mark at. So I not only that, but I also learned the music business while incarcerated, started my own record label when I came home because I wanted to be able to have creative control, make the most money off my art and own my masters. So these are things I was thinking about incarcerated long before.
Before I became.
Before people actually executing on it, right?
Ahead of the curve.
How it's been.
Yeah.
So with that being said, from crack to rap, and then to tech piece came when I met Ben, when I learned about Ben and connected with him.
Yeah, well, and he's known for a bunch of early startup successes. Just so people know, like what the what it's Andreessen Horowitz. I always get it wrong, but it's foreign, so I'm allowed to. Yeah, he'll be mad. Tell Ben. Ben don't know me, but tell Ben my apologies. I got the Horowitz part right, so come on, right?
Yeah, right.
So what was some of the what are some of the things that they've been involved with that?
I mean, Facebook is a major one. Twitter as well. You know, a lot of these companies in the technology space that have been going on to become unicorns. Coinbase is a good one. When we talked in crypto, Coinbase is another one, right?
Yeah,
they were in early in all these what they call high growth technology startups. And you know, they can go on to become $1 billion valuated companies.
Multi-billion dollar
valuated companies.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the story, it sounds cliche, right? Because it's like, here's a guy who you wouldn't think, you know, could be smart and but of course, because the things that you got to go through to survive in the circumstances and da 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 doesn't negate the fact that you could be brilliant. Like, you're a brilliant dude. You were brilliant in the streets. You were staying alive doing things that took a lot of managerial skills, let's just say, a lot of quick on your feet thinking, a lot of improv, and a lot of determination, all the things, right, that they say you have to have. So, but given the opportunity to say, wait a minute, I still have this penchant for, you know, seeing the money-making opportunities, but my legit way, let me learn the music business and start the label. Wait, hold on, let me get into the technology thing. My whole, like, philosophy here is sort of like the hip-hop mindset. Certainly, coming up in situations like you say, you know, which I deal with your mom and the time and the place where you grew up, like that all instills sort of genius ways of thinking into our young people. And they get very often thought of as not being capable of doing those things. So you're not a unicorn in that fact, in that sense, a lot of young people, a lot of folks who have these abilities just got to be given the right chance or the right situation.
I mean, yeah, you hit it right there. I wouldn't go so far as saying a genius. I think we all have genius capabilities.
Right.
But I'll say I'm very innovative.
Right.
I have a real unique perspective of how I approach everything I've ever done in my life. I've always been ahead of my time in that sense, always mature for my age, always learning from older individuals than myself. So I learn fast. I learn to pick up and adapt. And I learned to master my environment, no matter where that was, whether that was in the streets with my mother on crack cocaine and, you know, trying to figure out how do I make money? What resources do I have to leverage to do that, to go into prison? How do I maintain in prison? I turned my prison experience into my university, right? It became my university where I learned the things that I learned. And I really focused on spirituality. And of course, the second thing was the music business.
Right.
And then, you know, finally, I'm now in the financial technology space, the building this company. But you hit it right on the head, man. It's like we don't have a lot of resources where we come from, and we have to be very, very innovative in our approach to how we survive and how we thrive and make money, man.
Yeah, I mean, you look at other folks that we know of and know personally, folks like Nas, for example, who have gone in this direction where those life skills are transferable. Is what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at here. The life skills are transferable. Nas, like what's, you know, like the idea that transition from those worlds to those worlds are transferable. Same thing you're realizing, right?
No, absolutely. Nas is somebody else that's connected to Ben. He actually met Ben like a year before me, I believe, whatever it was. But Ben was very instrumental to Nas's entering the technology space and, you know, doing the investments he and the success he's had in that space with Queensbridge Ventures and so on. So, you know, salute Nas, of course. Was just with him and Ben out at the Super Bowl weekend. So
nice.
You gotta salute them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but definitely like that transition, like coming from, you know, the projects, coming from the streets, taking those skills, and like you said, they're very transferable.
Yeah.
You know, in the streets, I was somebody who I had to source product. I had to package product, right? I had to, manage all these different components to make your money, you know? I wasn't just a lower level type of dude. I was more in a managerial role. And I was dealing with people like, you know, 10 years my age, you know what I mean?
Right.
At the time, I got knocked at 19. So people were way older than me. But I took responsibility for what I did and, you know, did my time and kept it moving, man. But I've never been someone to let my prison experience define who I am.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean, if you met me, you know me. If you met me, you could never tell I did a day in prison.
Right.
Right? Because I'm that thoughtful about, you know, who I am and who I'm trying to become. I can't stay stuck in that, and I got to keep elevating and building. So.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, that's, I think, you know, they always say no one's defined by, you know, the worst thing they did, or no one's defined by the, you know, but you still take those experiences and obviously use them to mold and shape and move. To younger people, I imagine you talk to young folk a lot, or, you know, you get these opportunities to at least, you know, maybe as a mentor, or at least, you know, speaking to young kids. For those of us that are in charge, a lot of folks here are educators, or, you know, listen to the show, whatever, are educators, sometimes like school counselors. What, I guess, I don't know, gems, lessons do we pass on to the young folk who might feel like they're in a world where financial success, and certainly to the level of technology, finance, venture capital, all that stuff is so foreign to them, they just don't get the exposure to that, but they're no less capable of ending up there, as you know. What do we say to them? How do we guide them? How do we, you know, do what little we can with our little, you know, connections to young folk, particularly?
I think we're living in no better time than to take advantage of technology and leverage that to really become self-made. I mean, there's so many directions and avenues you can go to, you know, to become successful, become, you know, financially empowered, and be able to build wealth.
Yeah.
It's astronomical, the abilities that technology has given us to reach that highest level that we can think of and dream of. So all I can say is that take advantage of everything that's out there. You know, knowledge is a foundation, and, you know, there's no shortcut to knowledge, especially knowledge learned through experience. So, dig in, dive in, and really don't be afraid. Like if you can conceive it, you believe it, then you can achieve it. I always say that, you know, think and grow rich. You know what I mean? Simple.
Right.
Think, conceive it, achieve it, conceive it, believe it, achieve it. And I've always lived by that, right? Whatever thought I had in my mind, I've always been successful in all my undertakings because I always took that thought and I always built on top of it. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen overnight. When you see these so-called overnight successes, that's 10 years, 20 years in the making.
For sure.
You know what I mean? It's never overnight success. Right. But it's all about taking those steps one step at a time. Like Sun Tzu said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So, you know, that's what it is. Take that step. Don't be afraid. And I think everything that you fear, everything that you desire in life is on the other side of fear. I didn't just come out having confidence. I didn't just come out having different things. You know, I leveraged my DNA intelligence from my mother and my father, but I still had to go through life and learn and adapt and master different environments, man. I had to build up the high self-esteem. I had to build up the strong self-confidence that allowed me to walk through these doors. It's funny because, speaking of confidence, people would always ask me like, oh, I can't believe you reached out to Ben. That's crazy. This, that, and the third. But I said, I can't believe you didn't. I can't believe you didn't. If you can't believe I did, I can't believe you didn't.
Right. Well, why wouldn't you?
But that shows you the level of fear they have.
I get it.
And when I reached out to Ben, I just seen him as a human being. I didn't see him as a venture capitalist. I didn't see him as a billionaire. Even though I knew these things about him, I connected with his spirit first on hip hop.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on how he approached life. You know what I mean? I identify with it. I reached out, man.
I think the first time I heard of him was through that same article, like that same, like, here's some business, like, because he's a hip hop head and he recognizes. Right. And again, like we talk about here, he recognizes all these traits and characteristics that hip hop, or being a hip hop, you know, being part of hip hop culture gives you by nature. Like, just, it's there. It's part of that creativity, the remix culture, make something out of something else, you know, get in through the back door. You can't get in through the front door. So we get in through the back door. We can't buy the turntable. So we going to steal them.
You know what it is.
You know, the record skipping, put a nickel on top of the needle. Like, everything about hip hop was these kind of
We got no electricity. We're going to plug it to the lamp pole. You know what I mean?
From day one. From day one.
From day one, man. From day one.
And so when people recognize that, not as a, I do a whole, actually, I should tell you, I got to talk to you offline, but I do a whole keynote called Hip Hop Can Hack Everything. And it's aimed at the tech audience. And so it goes through the history of hip hop's connection with technology and all the things that hip hop has innovated technologically. And including, like you said, just the day one electricity in the Park Jam, all the stuff Grandmaster Flash did with the Quick Mix Theory, all the stuff that happened in all these years. And it's like, now I look at hip hop. I've always looked at hip hop. I've been one of them. Every DJ is an engineer. Every DJ is a low key engineer. You know what I mean? We fix things. Things don't work. We find a way to. So I recognize that ingenuity, and it's like, why wouldn't you come to the hip hop generation? Why wouldn't you come to someone that, has that in his heart, that remix, that get by, that make a dollar out of 15 cents mentality? That's just what we should be doing off rip.
I definitely agree, man. And that's why, I got love so much love for Ben, not only because, he changed my life and blessed me and opened up this new world to me.
Right.
But because he's authentic, he's genuine. Yeah. He's really real, and in every sense of it, from top to bottom.
Yeah,
he's a thorough dude, and I respect and admire him a lot, and so big up to him, man.
Yeah, indeed, love it. We gotta get him on the show, long overdue. In the meantime, so now listen, I want to keep you all night. I appreciate you. You hitting? I don't know where you at these days. You be all over the place. your frequent flyer miles is up.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you at. You might be in Dubai for all I know. I don't want to keep you up all night. Tell me one thing. I love Solvent because, friends might know he passed a little over a year ago. My brother from another mother was in and out of the system for many, many years. I went through it with him. I was, helping him work on his case and taking the calls and, doing all the things, So I did that for, well over a decade, So I personally know what it's like. We have a lot of friends and family that have family members that have been impacted. And we're not just talking about being incarcerated, foster system, like you said, just being poor and having to negotiate the government services and all that stuff. It's such an important and I don't say a neglected group of folks. So this is important to do. This is important to get the word out to folks so that they know this is available. What's next for Solvent? How do we look into it more? Like, once again, how do we spread the word about it? And who can this, once again, just tell the folks who might be tuning in late, who's this really going to help benefit, and how can we help make that happen as friends and family of folks who have been going through these things?
Yeah. I just think, all across the board, man, Solvent's all about financial empowerment. What I mean? So we have all the tools, resources on the website, www.justsolvent.com, JustSolvent.com. We just got into an accelerator with Visa, so we just partnered with Visa. So we're looking forward to finishing that. And, and we're raising capital right now. So, we just looking forward to really building Solvent out to something that, in my mind, it was something that I would have wanted to have when I came home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even Tony Blackman, I think, in here, I don't know if Tony Blackman said somewhere in here, I wish I had this when I left home at 17.
Exactly. I feel the same way. Like, I wish I had financial literacy, financial intelligence. I was never exposed to that, unfortunately. So all the money I made, which I was trying to make it to get out of that poverty, it didn't benefit me.
Right.
It just put me in prison.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Piles of money isn't the answer. Prism, Chosen Zulu, says financial literacy is a key component in knowledge of self. That's why they highlight it as the number one aspect to help you develop from day one in their knowledge of self discussions. You know what that's about.
No doubt. All day, all day, man.
Yep. And we're just getting a lot of love in the chat. A lot of folks saying this is great. This is really important, and we want to know more about it, be able to spread the word. And it's something that, like I said, we know, that's the wrong banner. I'll figure it out, man. I'm the only one pressing these buttons. We'll get more people to know about it. JustSolvent.com, right?
Yes, sir. JustSolvent.com.
All right, my man.
Freedom.
I really appreciate it. I'm glad we finally linked up. I could talk to you every 6 months. Not to say that you be entrepreneur hopping, because you still, the stuff, you don't just walk away from a project. Everything leads up to a new one.
Yeah.
You still do music, though? I'm asking. I'm wondering.
Yo, so I'm going to let it be known right here in your podcast, because it could be no better than let it know on your podcast. I am getting back into music. Not in a sense of, as a profession, because I'm already a professional. It's what I do.
Right.
I've always done it. It's my first love.
Facts.
But it more so to really drive the marketing and push and the adoption of Solvent. to the younger generation and just really spread the word. So I'm getting back in the lab. I'm working with a few people. We in talks right now. Of course, my man Tragic Gaddafi, he's going to be on deck, no doubt. Phantom of the Beats, just link back up with him. You know, I mean, he did 50 Cent and Lil Ken's Magic Stick.
That's right.
He also did my joint I did for Ben Venture Capitalists, like Ben Horowitz.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, just tapping into all my connections and looking to do this project, man. Come back and do what I do, man.
Yeah. You know, this show is called Hip Hop Could Save America. So, you know, we always figure that people with the sort of the hip hop mindset, as Toby Jennings calls it, you know, this hip hop mindset helps us take the things that are out there that exist and, you know, flip it, right? Remix it, make it our own. And I guess that's your sort of a textbook example of it. So,
Created something from nothing. I call it Magicnomics.
Yeah. There you go. That's what it is. Devon, yo, anytime you got something to talk about, just hit me up, man, and we'll spread brother. The word about it.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Let's cross paths in real life soon now that there's no pandemics and stuff. It's been a minute.
You know.
My friend. Peace. All right, brother. Be safe.
Peace, brother. Peace.
All right, once again, Devon, my man Devon from JustSolvent.com. Check out that platform. Share it with the folks that you might know that need that kind of assistance. As I said, it touches me to my heart. My brother, y'all might know as Coleman, if you know me personally, passed away about a year and passed away a year after he got out. And that happens sometimes because, you know, when you get out, you're not necessarily stable. You're trying to make it work. You're working, but maybe you're overworking. You're not connected with healthcare, which costs money. You're not connected with your family necessarily. You might be stressed because of your family connections and things might be, you know, you're trying to get back. You're trying to come back after a long time away. It's very important cause to me personally. So I would have certainly loved this program, but now that it's here, let's spread the word about it. My man, Devon, who's always on the sort of intersection of hip hop, technology and finance. And those are three areas I love. I love the combinations. You know what I talk about here on Hip Hop Could Save America?
Many faces.
You sick for this one. Sick for this one. Sick for this one.
Once again, thanks for listening to another episode of Hip Hop Can Save America, AKA the world's most important hip hop podcast. My name is Manny Faces. You can find out more about the show at hiphopcansaveamerica.com. You can watch the show now as a live stream on YouTube, hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Check back for all the replays as well. The interviews from the live stream will be brought here onto the audio feed, so you always get the best of the live stream. You can also check out our Substack newsletter. It's free at mannyfaces.substack.com, filled with stories of hip-hop innovation, inspiration, and in general, hip-hop news that isn't about dumb shit. Eternal shouts to our consulting producer, Summer McCoy. Be sure to check out her dope initiatives, Hip Hop Hacks and the Mixtape Museum. We'll be back soon with another dope episode, but check us out on the live stream as well. Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Until next time, it's Manny Faces wishing peace and love to you and yours.